Looking back to Pope Benedict's visit on Wednesday to the West Bank town of Bethlehem, commentators around the globe are pointing to his words in the Aida refugee camp there as his strongest appeal yet for an end to the political stalemate between Israel and the Palestinians. After praising UN officials and all those who have cared for Palestinian refugees since they were forced to flee their homes in 1948, the Pope expressed his solidarity with the refugees, who, he said, long to be able to return to their birthplace or live permanently in a homeland of their own. The Pope was welcomed to the camp by the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, or Abu Mazen as he's known, and then watched as students from one of the camp's schools danced and acted out the dramas that have affected their young lives. In his address to the refugees, Pope Benedict said he understood the frustrations of the Palestinian people. Irene Lagan takes a closer look at what he had to say.
Pope Benedict's visit to the school in the Aida refugee camp in the Palestinian territories was held in the shadow of the Israeli-built security wall. The wall was built to protect the Jewish state from terrorist attacks, but its path has cut deep into Palestinian territory, separating people from their land and their families.
Towering over us, as we gather here this afternoon, is a stark reminder of the stalemate that the relations between Israelis and Palestinians seem to have reached the wall. In a world where more and more borders are being opened up to trade, to travel, to movement of peoples, to cultural exchanges, it is tragic to see walls still being erected. How we long to see the fruits of the much more difficult task of building peace.
During his visit, the Pope watched a series of plays and skits by Palestinian children and also met with some of those whose parents were imprisoned.
We present to you, Your Holiness, messages from children whose parents are prisoners. The first child is Ghazala Sarahna, whose both parents are in prison for the last 8 years, and she's a Muslim girl.
The Holy Father spoke about the pain suffered by the Palestinian people.
I know that many of your families are divided through imprisonment of family members or restrictions on freedom of movement, and many of you have experienced bereavement in the course of the hostilities. My heart goes out to all who suffer in this way.
He called on both Israelis and Palestinians to end the ongoing violence, which has caused so much pain and suffering in the Holy Land.
There has to be a willingness to take bold and imaginative initiatives towards reconciliation. If each insists on prior concessions from the other, the result can only be stalemate.
The Pope concluded his remarks by saying the support of the international community is vital, and he renewed his appeal to all concerned to bring their influence to bear in favor of a just and lasting solution, respecting the legitimate demands of all parties and recognizing their right to live in peace and dignity in accordance with international law. Yet at the same time, the Pope said diplomatic efforts can only succeed if Palestinians and Israelis themselves are willing to break free from the cycle of aggression. I'm Irene Lagan.
Alongside the United Nations agencies that run the camps for over a million Palestinian refugees, the church is also providing vital services and support for Christian families in particular. Claudette Habash heads the Caritas Aid and Development Agency in Jerusalem. She told us about the daily struggles facing the Palestinians under Israeli occupation.
The daily difficulties are the checkpoints, the wall, the separation wall, the economic situation, lack of access to schools, lack of access to the holy places. But basically, all of these are effects or results of the occupation. And my people have lost hope that the world cares. How could it be that today 42 years these people live under occupation. There is no implementation of international law, no implementation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, no implementation of the United Nations resolutions. Why is there the United Nations if none of its resolutions have been implemented concerning the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? The difficulties are immense, and the people are fed up, lost hope, and I hope that the visit of the Pope will make a difference. You know, he is not a political power, but he is a moral power. He is a spiritual power, and he talks about truth. And we suffer here in Palestine because of the lack of knowing the truth around the world. The world knows some of what happens, what they see on television, but they don't know the truth, they don't know the facts. And I believe that the international community has an important role to play. Enough is enough. So yes, we do expect a lot from the visit of the Holy Father, and his voice is a respected voice. His voice is heard all over the world. So we hope that he can make a difference. To us, he is a messenger of hope. He is a messenger of peace. And I also think that he has a very important responsibility to play in this conflict. Also, don't forget that we are the Mother Church. Many people were not in favor of this visit because of the difficulties of the situation coming after the war on Gaza. But I, as a Christian, welcome here in this land. It is his home. It's the Mother Church. And we need him to come visit with us, talk to us, give us hope.
Claudette Habesh is head of Caritas Jerusalem and vice president of the Middle East and North Africa region for the Global Confederation Caritas Internationalis. As he left Bethlehem on Wednesday evening, Pope Benedict said he had been deeply moved by the testimonies of residents, telling him of the difficulties of life in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. But he also urged Palestinians to open their hearts and persevere with efforts to bring peace to their troubled land. The head of Vatican Radio's English section, Sean Patrick Lovett, is travelling with Pope Benedict throughout this pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Sean reflects now on why the Pope's visit to Bethlehem was such a vital part of this pilgrimage.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Remember that soothing, sentimental Christmas carol they taught you as a child? Well, forget it. There's nothing soothing or sentimental left in the town where Christ was born. There's anger, yes, and resentment, and frustration, but we'll get to that in a minute. It's not even little. It's a sprawling hodgepodge of look-alike, box-shaped buildings huddling against one another on two uneven hills where nothing green seems capable of growing. You get to Bethlehem from Jerusalem, along a rock-strewn road that winds through a valley of timeless olive groves. Just when you risk getting all sentimental and spiritual, you turn a corner, and there it is. No, not the town, the wall. In 2002, Israel began constructing an 8-meter-high concrete barrier. The Berlin Wall was only half that height, around the Palestinian territories in response to repeated terrorist attacks inside Israel. In 2004, the International Court of Justice ruled that the wall was illegal and ordered it to be dismantled. It's still there, and it's growing. The separation wall, or apartheid wall, as it's called in reference to South Africa's racist regime, not only divides one village from another, but water supplies, fields, and families. Nearly 100 military checkpoints and over 500 roadblocks control every single man, woman, and child going in or out of the occupied territories. Hold-ups can take so long that pregnant women on their way to hospital have been known to give birth at the checkpoint. To speak about an economy in tatters is to make the understatement of the year. There is no economy. Israel controls 82% of West Bank water supplies, forcing Bethlehem to buy back its own water and still risk regular water cuts, especially in summer when the dried-out town swelters while children in nearby Jewish settlements play happily under the garden hose pipe. Heard enough? Actually, I've only just begun. The Pope certainly heard enough. He heard about the arbitrary arrests, the imprisonments, the deaths, the harassments and humiliations. He heard how the Palestinian people feel forgotten, abandoned, unimportant in the face of a world that, quite frankly, has other things on its mind. And that's precisely why his visit to Bethlehem was so important. I know it sounds banal to use the word hope in a situation as desperate as this one, but in the end, hope is all they have. And the presence and words of the Pope helped revitalize that hope. The message was loud and clear. Someone cares. The Church hasn't forgotten them, and God will certainly never abandon them. And believe it or not, that message is enough to keep them going for a little while longer. With the Pope in the Holy Land, I am Sean Patrick Lovett.
And my thanks to Sean, who's been following this papal pilgrimage for us and who'll be keeping us up to date on all the events on the final day of Pope Benedict's visit to the Holy Land at this same time tomorrow.